seated tonight if you can. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts. Acts chapter 1. Praise the Lord. I made the little comment earlier. I seen Brother Kincaid's face turning red. It reminds me, one night I was preaching, I said something. Ladies, after the service, came to my wife and said, "I cannot believe your husband said that." She said, "He said worse." I don't know if that was frustration or if she was just being honest. Praise the Lord. You know what? 20 years. This year we celebrated 20 years of marriage. And, that woman is gorgeous. 7 babies, and she's probably going to kill me. Nobody's saying anything because we haven't even told her home church yet, but it's starting to get kind of obvious. Number 9 is on the way. I think it's twins this time. Be number 8 is on the way. And we are very thankful. Somebody said, "My goodness, all those children! Which one do you want me to send back?" Every one of them have been such a blessing. My oldest daughter is over the children's ministries in our church and just does tremendous. She can prepare for a funeral. She can minister to families. She can just do so much in the ministry. And Sarah's beginning to sing so much. Zeke is my assistant pastor. I'm telling you, he's faithful. And I don't have to tell him twice what to do. Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word. Some of you are already getting nervous. Someone's be long-winded tonight. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Praise the Lord. Amen. Tell somebody before you're seated, don't just stand there. Do something. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm in a Pentecostal church tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, some folks, they just get so frustrated if anybody laughs in church. And I don't know, they must have never read anything that Jesus said. They must have not paid any attention to it. Remember when he said to the crowd, "Don't be worried about the little splinter in your brother's eye when you've got a pole sticking out the side of your head?" Jesus had some humor. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm in a Holy Ghost church tonight. It reminds me of a church where a brother just got saved. He was so excited. He came into church and the preacher started preaching. I mean, he was a polished preacher and he got to preaching about salvation, and that man began to think about how that God had saved him, and he jumped up and said, "Hallelujah!" Everybody stopped and looked. The preacher even stopped. I mean, it startled him. He didn't know what to do, so he waited a few moments and continued on with his beautiful sermon. And a few minutes later, it really got to him, and he jumped up and said, "Hallelujah!" And one of the deacons went over to him and said, "Son, you got to calm down. Calm yourself down." And he said, "Oh, I'm trying to, but boy, he's preaching good." He got to preaching a little more, and he jumped up and said, "Glory!" Finally, the deacon had all he could do. He went over and said, "Shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth." The man looked at him and said, "I can't hardly." He said, "I got religion." He said, "Well, you didn't get it here." I'm glad I'm in a church where you can get it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, God can get a hold of you, can he? Do something in your life when you're in a Holy Ghost church. Praise the Lord. The disciples are standing there, and in good old Arkansas English, They said, don't just stand there. Do something. Jesus had told them what they needed to do. He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I'm telling you, folks, we are living in desperate, desperate times in America. We are living in desperate times in the church. Protestant churches are losing young adults in sobering numbers. And this is from a recent survey that was listed in USA Today. 7 in 10 Protestants, ages 18 to 30, both evangelical and mainline, who went to church regularly in high school, said they quit attending by age 23. Did you hear that? 7 out of 10. 70% of those who attended church stopped attending church. One man said, the problem is because we feel like we've got to baptize our young people with pizza. We've got to submerge them in all kinds of secular activities to be able to keep them. But I believe with all of my heart, we've got some young men and some young women in this generation, I'm looking at some of them in this room tonight, that are ready to make a difference in their world. I was telling the young people this weekend about a man. My dad worked with a man. His name was Red. They called him Red because his face got red. Screamed and hollered and said words I will never use. And got upset when things didn't go his way. And so they called him Red. But he had a boy that played video games so much that the ligaments and the tendons in his back muscles loosened up and his back did like this. He had to wear a brace for several years and have surgery because he sat like this. And we've got a generation of young people that are like that. Oh, young people say amen and nobody will think you're guilty. I mean, they sit for hours every day, and the only thing you'll hear them say is, I'm on the next level. I made it, I made it, I made the next level. I mean, I was talking to the girls there at the youth conference. Is that the kind of man you want to marry? I mean, they can really game. They won't be able to provide for you. We are living in a culture of laziness. I've never seen nothing like it. I mean, people that don't want to work, hey, in all labor, there is profit. There's no blessing for the lazy. If you believe there is, read Proverbs. Hey, man, some of you, you might want to make sure that you pray through before you start reading the Proverbs. There's no blessing to the lazy. Hey, man, God always blesses the industrious. Those that are working, those that are diligent, the disciples as they stood watching Christ as He ascended out of their presence, the angels looked at them and said, don't just stand there. Go back to Jerusalem like He told you to do and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to tell you the same thing tonight, church. What we need more than anything else in this hour is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Those of us that have been filled, we need to be refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the thing that makes the difference in this hour. You want to have a church that grows? Get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Najambi, the brother I was talking about in Africa that we met, now started over 400 churches. That's just tremendous. Then Najambi went on a 40-day fast after God saved him. And the Lord spoke to him what he was going to do. And Najambi said the witch doctors consistently say the same thing in the villages where they go in to preach. He said one came to him and it echoes what many of them say. Came to him and said, we hate you Pentecostal preachers. He said, why do you hate us? He said, because you drink too much. He said, because we drink too much. Said, yeah, we know that you drink too much because you act like you're drunk when you have church. You're jumping up and down. You're dancing. You're running around. You're shouting. You're doing all these things, and it makes the demons that we've controlled for years nervous. And when you speak in that other language, the demons that we have controlled and used to control our villages run and hide. God, I'm telling you right here in Goshen, Indiana, there are people that are bound by hell. They are bound by demons. Demons will not be counseled out. Demons will not be taught out. Demons won't be talked out. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost comes in to a church full of believers, the power of hell must let go and Jesus Christ reigns supreme. Hallelujah. Don't just stand there. Do something. Go back and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody says, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost 50 years. Did you speak in tongues today? How about this week? Hallelujah. Amen. How about in the service today? If you didn't talk in tongues today in the services that we've been having around here, if you didn't feel the Holy Ghost moving in your heart, something's wrong with you. Amen. Somebody said, well, everybody wasn't running. Everybody wasn't dancing. Amen. That's not how I measure what God is doing. I measure it by what the Lord is doing in hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Oh, and can I tell you, when we get a hunger for the Holy Ghost, God will pour out His Spirit. He will move. But we must hunger for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mel Torre tells in the 60s and 70s when the message of Pentecost came to the islands in the Pacific, there's a book that he wrote, The Mighty Wind of God, or Like a Mighty Wind. Some of you may have read that book. But Mel Torre said, we went to the edge of one particular village, and the priest came to them and said, you cannot come into this village. He said, we just held hands as a ministry team and started to sing and worship God, speak in tongues. Hallelujah. And those voodoo priests, or those worshipers of nature, came running to him and to his group and said, what are you doing? And tell us who this Jesus is. They'd never even said Jesus. He said, when you started singing and worshiping God, when you began to speak in that other language, the demons that we have used for years to control our people came running past us, screaming out as they ran past, Jesus has come and we must leave. Jesus has come and we must leave. Oh, wouldn't it be great tonight for the Holy Ghost to move in this place? I'm not embarrassed to be in Pentecostal. How about you? I'm not ashamed of speaking in tongues. I'm not afraid to let the Holy Ghost move on my heart. You want me to tell you why? Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost that destroys the yoke of bondage. Without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we'll get nowhere. But with the power of the Holy Ghost, God will set me in free. Don't just stand there. Do something. Get full. Get full of the Holy Ghost. I remember as a young man, preachers come through in our little community there in Arkansas. They'd tell stories about what God used to do. I even heard some of my generation's modern preachers saying, but God doesn't move that way anymore. I'm telling you, it made me half mad and half anointed. Well, actually, I was all mad. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Young people, I want to tell you something. God can move in our generation. God can pour out the Holy Ghost in our generation. Amen. You know what I made a decision to do? Push the plate back. It may not look like I do it that much, but actually, that's probably why I'm so chubby. When you fast, when you eat again, it just all goes to fat. I'm so spiritual and fast so much. That's not what I was saying. Amen. I said, I'm going to push the plate back. I'm going to get up a little bit earlier. I'm going to seek the face of God until God comes down and moves again. And I want to tell you something. Amen. I want to tell you something in this place tonight. I have seen the deaf ears open. People born deaf, miraculously healed by the power of God. People whose bodies were completely broken. I've seen God put them back together. I've seen God heal cancer. Amen. I've watched the Lord burn it off of bodies. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I've watched in these 23 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, my wife and I have had the privilege of seeing literally hundreds either saved or baptized in the Holy Ghost or healed or delivered and set free from the power of Satan. Amen. I want you to know I made up my mind. Amen. When everybody said that God was through, He's not finished. One preacher told me something here. It's only been 5 years ago. Brother Snow, if we're going to see the miraculous, we're just going to have to go on missions trips. This is a man that, very prominent. Someone I really respect. I'm telling you, when I hung up the phone, I gritted my teeth. And I said, he hasn't been with me. Because I'm seeing God move right here in America. I'm watching God do miraculous things right here. Amen. Had a young preacher come through. Brother Kid K got up in the pulpit. He said, this church is dead. Used to be on fire. Church is dead. The church, at that time, it was a different church than where I'm pastoring now. The church had grown. We had about 120, 150, something like that. I mean, it fluctuated right in that area. We grew to almost 400 in about 6 months' time. I kid you not. It was tremendous what God was doing in that church. It was miraculous how God was pouring out His Spirit. And this guy's up there saying that. He said, this church is dead. It's not like it used to be. I mean, I guess what he was thinking was, if you all jump up and down or scream or shout or do a certain thing, but in any direction in that church, I see people that have been set free from drugs, delivered from hell, demons cast out of them, bodies healed. I mean, miraculous things had taken place. And one of my new converts who hadn't got everything prayed through all the way almost went up and hit him. He got so mad. He said, how dare that guy talk about our church like that, Pastor? He said, he don't know what he's talking about. He said he must not have been here the night that I knelt down high on meth and got up high on Jesus. Hallelujah. Quit living for the devil and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That disturbs me, Brother Kincaid. It bothers me when people say, hey man, that God's not doing this or doing that. You know what that usually is a sign of? It's a sign of an individual who's not really seeing it themselves, and so they want to blame everybody else. It's everybody else's problem. Listen, people are only going to go as far as you go. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Amen. They're not going to go past you most of the time. God, give us a whole church full of saints that'll say, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. Don't just stand there. Don't just stand there. Do something. I'm telling you right now, the disciples could have made excuses. They could have made a lot of excuses. They could have said there's no way it could happen. Now, I've been accused of being a... What is it the one brother calls me? The eternal optimist. I just believe God can do anything at any time. I believe that He wants to do the miraculous right here in our generation. Amen. Like the shoe salesman who went to an island nation and sent back a message to the company who sent him there and said, I'm coming home. These people don't wear shoes. A few weeks passed and the next salesman arrived. The message came back. Send as many shoes as you can. These people don't wear shoes. I'm going to sell them to everybody. You see, we get this mentality and attitude. We look at our culture and our generation and we say, it can't happen. But the disciples didn't do that. They went back and tarried and waited and made themselves available to the presence of God. God is not looking for your ability. He is looking for your availability. I don't understand what you're trying to say, preacher. Let me share something with you then. Moses stuttered. You realize that? He had a speech impediment. He pastored more than me or you, Brother Kincaid. David's armor didn't fit. You remember that? I mean, he looked like a kid. dressed up in man's armor. But he took it off and said, I don't need that. All I need is God. And this sling, hallelujah, and these few stones. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Amen. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Just making sure you're paying attention. Praise the Lord. He was depressed. Jeremiah was depressed. He was even suicidal at times. But he said, Lord, I will make myself available so that you can use me. Hallelujah. Elijah was burned out. Martha was a worrywart. Mary may have been lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk, and that's not all. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? But I'm telling you, God doesn't require a job interview. Did you hear what I said? He is looking for someone who is available. Someone who will say, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm willing to be used by you. Hallelujah. They were willing to say, God, whatever you want to do in my generation, I want to be available for you to move and work through me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Dee, would you come to the music tonight? Praise the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 7, there's a story about a group of people who were so oppressed by the enemy. You can look back at chapter 6 and you can see how that they had reverted to cannibalism. I mean, they were desperate because the city was surrounded. But there were three leprous men who said, why are we going to sit here to die? We're not going to just sit here and wait. We're going to do something. Amen. I'm telling you, we can look around at our culture, our generation. We can look at the political atmosphere. And if your hope is in a political party, I'm telling you right now, the Republicans will disappoint you all day long. The Democrats will disappoint you all day long. The Independents will disappoint you all day long. Amen, Brother Stowe. Go ahead and preach. But I'm going to tell you, the government is on the shoulders of my president. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. You talk about a Social Security plan. Amen. You talk about a health care plan. Oh, you talk about an educational plan. Oh, He's got it all together. Amen. How many of you voted for King Jesus? How many of you got Him living in your heart? As we go into 2013, I hope you're not moping around depressed about the state of the world that we are living in. Amen. Jesus said, when you see all this stuff happening, look up. Then He said something. If you have to, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you lift your hands across this room right now and say, Lord, I don't want to just sit here. I want to do something. I don't want to just stand here. I want to do something. I don't want to just see all the stuff that's going on in the world and get depressed. I don't want to lose out because I'm discouraged about what's going on in the world. God, I want to put my confidence. I want to put my hope in the only one. The only one that is able to move. Hallelujah. The only one that is able to work. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Will you stand with me across this room? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give me just a little bit more volume, brother, please. I'll adjust it. If I get too loud, I'll pull away a little bit. Now, I don't want you to think tonight that I'm just saying something. Brothers and sisters, I have seen the miraculous hand of God in my generation. I've watched 40 or more people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost at one time. Boom. I went to a remote village in Togo and prayed with a whole church that came seeking to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. My generation. I've been in churches right here in the United States where we have grown tremendously. And I'm not talking about pulling from other churches. You know what I do when somebody comes from another church? If it's a church that doesn't preach the truth, I don't feel obligated to send them back to that. But if it's a church where I may not agree with everything they do, but they preach the word, I tell them, you need to go back. You need to go back to your church. I do that. I've done that ever since I started pastoring. You need to go back. There's times where things happen and folks feel like they need to move. That's going to happen. But when I say our churches have grown, it hasn't been by people coming from other churches. Half the people don't know their right hand from their left hand spiritually. They're growing. God is developing them. Praise the Lord. In our generation, are there any young men in this room right now that are called into the ministry? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Praise God. Just hold it up there. I'm called. God's called me. Listen. God wants to move in our generation, Brother Matt. He wants to move in our generation. He wants to pour out His Spirit, but if we're not careful, we just stand there. Don't just stand there. Do something. He's coming back. This same one that was taken up in the heaven is coming again, just like you've seen Him go away. Hallelujah. We have a limited amount of time to work. Praise God. A 14-year-old girl started the Welsh Revival, and within 6 months' time, over 100,000 people came to Christ. Did you hear what I said? I'm not talking about today where they come and they give them a card and say, you've got Jesus now. I'm talking about people genuinely got born again, went home and poured out their liquor, went home and got rid of their sin, went home and apologized, went home and restoration was made for the things that they had stolen. Genuine salvation started with a 14-year-old girl in church that stood up at prayer meeting and began to weep and give a short testimony about how much she loved Jesus. And Brother Kincaid, when she got through, the thunderings of it didn't end for years. And the world has been impacted even to this day because a 14-year-old girl said, I'm not going to just stand here. I'm going to do something. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something. A little girl continued to come here. Hosanna, real quick. Run up here. Little girl, probably a little younger than Hosanna, walked past a man every day. When she walked past him, she would share. She'd say, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He'd cuss at her, throw things at her, tell her to go away. But that little girl came back. She shared the gospel with this man. This man was dying. Joe was dying. Every day of his life, he was dying. But he kept listening. But God commended His love towards us. She had learned her memory verses and learned how to witness, Brother Kincaid. And she kept giving the gospel. Finally, one day, Joe pushed himself up And David Cho made his way into the city where the Assembly of God missionaries were at. He knocked on the door, and when they came to the door, he said, "I need to know about this Jesus this little girl keeps telling me about." He said, "I know my family will kick me out. My family will run me out. My family will get rid of me. They'll disown me," because they were all Buddhists. But he said, "I must know who this Jesus is." God gloriously saved David. He went back home and his fear became a reality. They kicked him out. He was placed in a hospital. I'm trying to make the story short. When he got out, the missionaries had found him a little apartment to live in. And every time he would cough, his cloth was covered with blood. He had tuberculosis and other diseases in his lungs. He was dying. He was a dead man. As he lay there on the bed, David said, he saw Jesus step through the door. Amen. He didn't say he opened the door. He stepped through the door and walked over to the bed. And Brother Kincaid put his hand down on David Cho. And when he put his hand down on him, he said, "I seen light going through his fingers. It went through my body. I saw the light going all through my body." Amen. He pastors the largest Pentecostal church in the world today because a little girl, and I'm going to tell you, I've heard people criticize him. Makes me want to just karate chop him. I can't believe how foolish people can be. That church prays 24 hours a day. Somebody's praying in that church. It has totally impacted Korea. They've got missionaries inbound North Korea because a little girl witnessed to David and kept telling him about the love of Jesus. Don't just stand there. Do something. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And even your words will transform a nation. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can move right here from First Assembly of God and shake this state? Oh, I think He might could do that. I wonder if He might want to do that. Brother Kincaid, I know God wants to. It is God's perfect will to send revival to First Assembly of God that will impact this state. Brother, do you really believe that a move of God right here in Goshen, Indiana, can impact this nation? Absolutely. Young men that raised their hand and said they were called in the ministry. And some of the young women that I was privileged to preach to this weekend, brother, and watched them seeking God and weeping and trembling in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Watch this young lady here on the platform this morning and this evening with her hand. I'm telling you, there's not a fake bone in her body. Amen. She wants to please the Lord with all of her heart. Do you think that God can use that? Yes. Hallelujah. Don't just stand there. Do something. Do something. Would you lift your hands right now in this room and just say, "God, will you let it begin right here? Lord, will you do it? If you can use anything, God. If you can use anything, God, you could use me." Hallelujah. I don't want to stand here. I don't want to wait for somebody else to do it. I don't want to believe what they've told me, that God's not moving anymore. I don't want to believe that nonsense. God's still alive. He's still working. He's still moving. He's still pouring out His Spirit.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you fathers need to get a hold of God. I need to tell you a story. My dad was always, always wanting to preach. He felt like God had called him to preach. My sister had a disease. He had to work to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. My dad paid all of it. He worked. He was a good man. They worked to pay those doctor bills. He had to work because he was a father. And there were times where my mother said that he would cry himself to sleep because he'd say, "God, I'm not doing anything for you. And I just want to preach. I just want to see this nation touched. I want to see people around the world touched with your gospel and weep and cry himself to sleep saying, I'm not doing enough for your kingdom." My brother is a preacher of the gospel, works with Teen Challenge. Amen. He's impacted hundreds of lives. Glory to God. Amen. I preach not only all across this country and many of our states here in the United States preaching revival. Amen. But I've literally preached in other places around the world. What my dad didn't do, God is doing through us. Amen. As His sons. Some of you men need to say, God, do it. Get a hold of my boy that's kind of cold in his walk. Get a hold of my daughter. Amen. That's not doing what she needs to do. Oh, God, I don't want to just stand here. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh! Hallelujah. I'm not trying to do this to buddy up with my brother. Come up here, brother, if you would. Hallelujah. Will you reach your hand this way? Right here. Amen. Is a man who can pastor an entire community. Amen. The church that he pastors, the community that he's in, is probably 700-800 people, but the town is about 450. But the community, the surrounding areas, amen. Town, 450 people is the population of that town. This man could pastor that whole town. Will you reach your hand this way and pray for God to anoint our brother like never before to shake that community? Hallelujah! Not to be contented to sit in an office and study so he can preach some polished message, but that God would put a fire in his belly to get up early in the morning and seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Pray and work and witness and minister and knock on doors until fire falls in Amber, Oklahoma. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Brother, I didn't have you come up here because I just thought, oh, I'm going to do that. Amen. I felt the Lord tell me to do that. God's going to do something great with this brother right there. Hallelujah. Father, anoint my brother. There are people that are sick in that town that need healed. God, confirm your word with signs. Oh, the name of Jesus. God, let His words be anointed, O God, to speak life into that city in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to call everybody here in just a moment. But are there any young people that say, I feel like God has dealt with me about ministry? I want you to come first. We come very quickly. Men or women. Hallelujah. Young men or young women. God's dealt with me about ministry. Amen. And I don't want to stand there. I want to do something. Hallelujah. I want you to come. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands and let God begin to move in your heart right now. He's wanting to do something in this altar tonight like you've never experienced. Hallelujah. I said He's wanting to do something in your heart tonight like you have never experienced before. It is not going to happen by you studying at a Bible school. Amen. I said it's not going to happen by you studying at a Bible school. It's not going to happen by you reading some book about somebody else who's done something. It's going to happen by God anointing you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. My children, Brother Kincaid, don't sit around the house when we know somebody's demon-possessed, wringing their hands, going, oh, if they come to church, I wonder if it's going to hurt anybody. They're ready to cast it out because they know that God has given us the power to do that. Somebody's sick and they call us and say, Pastor, we need prayer. You know what I do with my family? We get together and there's not one of them that sits there going, oh, this one's too big. God can't do it. In fact, where's Colty Cowboy? Colty Cowboy, come here real quick. Run up here, buddy. Come here, cowboy. Amen. Oh, when Colty prays, I'm telling you, he just says, Jesus, that brother's got cancer. You don't need that. That has to go in Jesus' name. And you know what? Hallelujah. God's heard the prayers of this little boy right here. Amen. God's heard his prayer. There's not doubt. How many of you say, I don't want doubt in my home? I don't want it in here. I don't want fear in my home. I don't want the devil to put that fear in my home. I want to believe God. Don't stand there. Don't stand there. Do something. Will you reach your hand this way right now? Just reach your hand this way right now. Hallelujah. We pray for a supernatural anointing on these lives. Praise God. A passion to do what God has called them to do without wanting to get a paycheck, without wanting to get a raise. Amen. Just wanting to do something for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And trust the Lord to provide. Amen. And give them a good job where they can work and be in the ministry, or if He puts them into full-time ministry, whatever God chooses. Hallelujah. How many of you in this room right now say, I want revival at First Assembly. I want God to pour out His Spirit in this church. Amen. And I want to pray that it starts right here with me. If you feel that way tonight, I want you to come. Will you just come right now? Lift your hands as you come. And I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would. Those of you that aren't able to stand for a long time, you could sit down on that pew. Amen. That's not disrespectful to sit in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe age and time has made it to where you can't stand a long amount of time. Hallelujah. Will you just lift your hands and say, do it again, God. Do it again, God. Send revival in this generation. God, we thank You for how You've moved at First Assembly in the past. But we're in